food affordability, food poverty perspective, I would tend to start quite high up and consider international commodity markets, international commodity prices, and oil prices, because they're inextricably linked. And maybe paradoxically, we're talking today when CPI is recording 1.6% deflation in food, and oil prices could fall from $115 a barrel to 80 to potentially 50, which actually would be very good news for consumers and households in due course. But if you think about what's happened over the last 8 years, 2006 was an enormous threshold, because basically 30 to 40 years of food price falls in international terms came to an end, and food prices started to rise. And if you think food prices is regressive in the UK, then you should see what food prices do in emerging developing countries for incomes and living standards. And the rise in food prices in 2006-7-8 was something that we've never seen before, and frankly we don't see going back to. What we mean by that, food prices have been rebased, structurally rebased, at a higher level. And that reflected a number of factors coming together. First of all, there was a very poor northern hemisphere harvest in 2006, and it corresponded with a material rise in oil. And I sense not enough people realise how much oil contributes to food markets. It's a very major ingredient in the production of food. It's a major factor in the movement of food, and it's a key factor in the packaging of food. And oil prices, therefore, have a key relationship to food prices. And when oil prices went from effectively $30 a barrel, and actually touched $150 a barrel, settled at around $100 to $120 a barrel, that was an enormous strain on the production of food around the world. That corresponded, though, with a structural change in demand from Asia and the Middle East in particular. And there has been population growth around the world for many decades, but the economic growth that occurred in Asia and the Middle East from 2005 caused a surprising change in demand, particularly for protein. What we've seen in recent years is relatively low-income households who have been living off rice-based diets, moving to urban areas and changing their dietary behaviour and causing a massive structural change in the consumption of protein, particularly dairy and meat products. Now, you may feel that your milk comes from Daisy, walks around the field in Devon, and that's all very cosy and nice, but in North America and in Asia, most of the milk comes from cows fed grain in feedlots. It's an industrial process. So when grain prices went up and oil prices went up and demand went up, well, very basic economics tells you, demand goes up, supply goes down, prices go up. Now, that started the process that came to the UK in 2008-9 with the collapse of Lehman's Bank. Lehman's almost brought the United Kingdom's economy down. And the distress that the banking crisis caused has been quite structural to the UK economy, and the UK households will be paying a very high price for the banking's failure for many years to come. But the economic recession that came from that led to a collapse of living standards, and the key year was 2011. Real incomes in 2011 in the UK were down about 1%. We have a measure of what's called essentials inflation, which basically looks what people have to pay for. So food, home heating, fuel, rail travel tickets, insurance, things that one just cannot get away from paying for mainly. And that was 9% in 2011. So there was a 10% fall in living standards, which was the biggest fall ever recorded. And frankly, it takes several generations to increase living standards by 10%. And that 10% fall in living standards was felt by virtually the whole of the UK, by with the exception of the very wealthy. It was a tremendous shock to consumer behaviour. Now, in terms of the behaviour of the supermarkets in the UK, they based the big four supermarkets got drunk on inflation. They basically put through price rises, which reflected commodity price movements in the main, through this period from 2006 to 2013. And their business models were predicated upon keeping their, what we call their gross margins, their cost of the goods percentage, the same. And it was done in the naive Well, that didn't happen, and it didn't happen because of the distress that households were facing across the UK. And so in 2011, we started to see changes in consumer behaviour, and necessity was forcing a change in that behaviour. And households became classic economists. They destocked their larders. They stocked less food and bought on a more frequent basis. So they stopped going to large shops and doing large shops and started to shop more locally and more frequently. They started to manage their food waste. Now, believe it or not, up to 2009-10, about a third of the UK's fresh and chilled food was thrown away. The UK food industry is a £160 billion industry. It's probably £50-odd billion of fresh and chilled food. And about a third of that gets thrown away in households. That's gone down to about 21-22%, which is an enormous shift in behaviour by consumers. And so consumers manage their budgets very tightly, and we live in a mixed economy. We have a free market food industry, and entrepreneurs filled the gap that the big four food retailers didn't see, and those entrepreneurs were hard discounters in the form of Aldi and Lidl. They were high street value retailers in the form of Poundland and B&M. And paradoxically, and building on Liz's point, food is more than a functional factor. And we actually saw premium retailers like Waitrose and Marks and Spencer's outperforming in the recession as what we call the affordable treat became more important for people. So the little money they did have, they started to allocate to premium food. And also through the recession, in terms of affordable treats, food eaten out of home has rocketed in demand in the UK over the last 5 years, which has compounded the problem of the big supermarkets. So all this has come together from a financial perspective, whereby Britain's big four supermarkets are actually in crisis. Their earnings, their profitability over the last 3 years have collapsed by somewhere between half and three quarters. And there is structural change taking place in their strategies. They will open very few more new supermarkets, and they will cut their prices because they have to now compete with the hard discounters. So in terms of market economics, in terms of factors that impact household expenditure and household affluence, I think it's very important to keep an eye on the big picture in terms of commodity markets and oil prices. It's very important to keep an eye on real incomes, which may just be starting to go up. And it's important to keep an eye on the channels and distribution of food in the UK. But I would actually say that households may have an opportunity to be a little bit better off over the next 2 or 3 years as a result of these processes. And if one thinks about prevalence of hard discounters and high street value stores, and there are also some neighbourhood discounters emerging now. Booker has a face you call Family Shopper, which is starting to open discount stores in neighbourhoods.